So it's an exciting day for me today. My dad is here, all the way from Saskatchewan. It's just great. It's great for me. It's great for our boys. It's great for him, I hope. It's 3,000 kilometers from his house to ours, so we don't get to spend much time together, especially in these COVID times. And keeping in touch by phone is not exactly the strongest suit for either one of us. So sometimes weeks will go by before us speaking with each other. Oftentimes many months will pass without us seeing each other face to face. But when we do speak and when we do see each other, it's like no time has passed. It's like the space between us dissolves. We pick back up where we left off, still jostling over politics, still dreaming the big dreams about how this world could be better. We are still connected out of our love for each other, out of the common story of our family. We are still connected, and we always will be, and no time or space can change that. And I think that that's pretty great. As I've mentioned before, growing up, ours was not a religious family. It may be surprising given where I have ended up, but I have never been to a Sunday school class. Unlike Joshua and Andrew and Finn, I never went through confirmation. Until my mid-30s, my life was going in a completely different direction. But then in a time of disruption and pain, God drew close and the winds of the Holy Spirit blew and blew me onto a completely different path. A different path with a new community, a chosen family that I found with the followers of Jesus. Pentecost has a particular resonance for me. I know the power of the Holy Spirit because I have felt it. I know what the tongues of fire feel like on my flesh, the hot winds of change that both scorch and refine. This is the experience of Pentecost, the experience of God in spirit moving in and through and amongst us, bringing change, bringing a new vision of what is possible. But on this day, we also remember Pentecost as a specific event, an event with a history. Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecoste, meaning 50th day. It is a reference to the Jewish festival Shavuot, which is held on the 50th day after the second day of Passover. And is so often the case. There has been a layering on of tradition with Christians now honoring Pentecost as the 50th day after Easter. For the church, the day of Pentecost completes the cycle that begins with Ash Wednesday and continues through Lent and Holy Week and Eastertide. It is the terminus of a liturgical journey that moves us from ashes to fire. Fire and wind and the speaking of other tongues, that was the experience of the first followers of Jesus. But central to all of this, central to the event that we now see as the birth of the church, is the gathered community. As Luke writes in Acts, when that day of Pentecost had come, they were all together gathered in one place. They were all together in one place. Before the Holy Spirit comes, before the wind and the fire, the community gathers in one place. This is central to the birth of the church. It is central to what the church would become. They were all together in one place. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer says, the presence of other Christians is a source of incomparable joy and strength to the believer. It has always been this way. Remembering the congregation in Thessalonica, Paul prays night and day exceedingly that we might see your face. The writer of 2 John knows that his joy will not be full until he has come to his own people and speaks to them face to face instead of writing with ink, where two or three are gathered. In homes, in the fields, in country churches, in the great cathedrals, they were all together in one place. This was to be the defining characteristic of Christ's church. It has been the defining characteristic of this church. To gather here in this building in worship and in fellowship and in service to each other and to God's world. And then, as we all know all too well, March 2020 came. When COVID hit, the physical presence of other Christians was not a source of joy and strength, but of fear and uncertainty over a virus that was passed from person to person, face to face, and was raging through every aspect of our lives like a five-alarm blaze. Thankfully, all these months later, we are in a different place now. But it is undeniable that the deep scorching of COVID is still being felt. Our gathering as a community has changed, likely permanently. On every given week, about 40% of us gather here in the church building. And for very good reasons, about 60% of us gather online, live streamed on Facebook and YouTube and on our website. The question, the challenge for the post-COVID church is, what happens when we no longer all together in one place? Does the Spirit still come in the same way? If we are separated by distance and even time, with some of us watching online later in the week or even months from now, what happens to our discipleship and our stewardship and our fellowship and our connection to each other? What happens to the church when we are no longer all together in one place? I visited someone in the hospital recently, and they were so frustrated because they didn't understand. They didn't understand what all the tests and all the machines were for. They didn't understand the language that the doctors and nurses were using. They felt excluded from the process, like their needs were unimportant, like they weren't being seen or heard or understood. In disruptive times in our lives, when we cry out in pain or anger or frustration or fear, we want to know that someone is listening, that someone cares, that someone understands what we are going through. We want to know that we are not alone. The well-documented and decades-long decline in mainline churches like the United Church of Canada, like the Anglican Church and others, is being accelerated by COVID. Many of our congregations will not survive the disruption of not all being together in one place. But the ones that will, the churches that will survive and will thrive in the coming years, will be the ones that use all our creativity and all the tools at our fingertips to fully embrace the basic human need to be connected, to be included, to be understood, to belong, to be part of something important and transcendent, to meaningfully contribute to the betterment of the community, to know that we are not alone. Not alone in our pain or in our joy. When the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, that day that we now call the birth of the church, people started speaking in the native languages of others. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. Outside the gathering, people could hear themselves reflected. They could understand how they fit in by the power of the Holy Spirit. They felt included in God's wild and wonderful outflowing, outpouring of love. They felt part of God's vision of hope and healing for all of God's children, not just a select group of insiders. The churches that will survive and thrive in the years ahead will be the ones who finally understand that the Church of Jesus Christ is not a building. The work of the Holy Spirit is untamable and can never be contained within walls. The church is a vision and a people dedicated to making that vision a reality in every time and in every place. This building is beautiful, and it is an important part of our story. It is a touchstone for our history. It is a place to be comforted and inspired to write the new chapters of the ongoing adventure of our faith. But the church is not a building. The church is a people. This people, connected by the Holy Spirit through time and space. It is the mystical body of Christ that is as alive today as it has ever been, even if it does not look like we expect or remember. For those of you who once gathered here in the church building, but now gather online for a variety of reasons, whether it be COVID-related or mobility-related or other reasons, I want you to know something. You are so missed. We miss seeing your face. We miss you. I miss you. And we will rejoice. We will rejoice if circumstances change and you are able to worship again here in this place. But if not yet, or if not ever, and this is true for you, though, for those of you who are new or are here in person, it is vital that we all understand that through the power of the Holy Spirit that transcends time and space, we are still connected as one community in Christ. You are a vital and necessary part of this family, regardless of the distance between us. The Greek word John's Gospel uses for the Holy Spirit is parakletos, which is translated as called to one's side. Called to one's side. Scripture says that the Holy Spirit is the presence of God who will be in and amongst the community of disciples just as Jesus had been. Whether it be here in the church building or online, whether it be in the forest or on the potato farm or in a hospital bed, it is the Holy Spirit that comes to our side. The sometimes subtle, sometimes dramatic ways to be the connective tissue between things, to make all space liminal, to bring mystery and wonder and dreams of how the world could be, and most importantly, to bring a deep, deep understanding that we are not alone. Even in this COVID-charred world, we can still be connected. Even when it feels like the world is being pulled apart by war and mass shootings and polarized politics and the social media algorithms that feed into our very worst instincts, the Holy Spirit is at work bringing us back together, coming by our side to help us love and serve, seek justice and resist evil, live with respect in creation, and proclaim the hope of Jesus into this world that is so desperate for some hope. On this Pentecost Sunday, we have seen five people say yes to their faith, yes to this family of Christ. In a world being pulled apart, Joshua and Andrew and Finn and Kayla and Linda have taken a step closer. They have taken a step closer to God's vision for the healing of all things through love and understanding. And on this Pentecost Sunday, this is what we are each called to do, to take one step closer on the path of faith, on the path of faith. What does that one step closer look like for you? What does it look like for you? Perhaps it means joining a small group ministry like a Bible study or a prayer group, or serving on a committee, or making phone calls, or inviting someone to church, or becoming a member yourself, or simply it might mean being by each other's side, whether it be here or online, phone, Zoom, face-to-face. This is a remarkable time. With creativity and openness and the new tools at our fingertips, the hard-walled notion of what church is or ought to be are burning away. Even in these COVID-charred times, something new is emerging from the ashes, something vibrant and beautiful and full of life that we are each called into each time we gather in whatever way we gather. This is the power and the gift of the Holy Spirit. The one who comes by our side, who includes us, who connects us, who demonstrates time and time again that we are not alone. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.